In every age, God raises people up to speak the truth to the world in a way that is currently relevant. Though our opinions should not be held with the same esteem as the biblical canon, we still carry the hope of Christ to the world. Our society has forgotten what it means to follow Christ. The bright lights of truth seekers are barely visible in the dim twilight of a post-Judeo-Christian society. We all see the darkness coming. All we can hope is to share the light that He has entrusted to us. This is Modern Apocrypha. Hey, I'm Jared.
And I'm Greg.
And this is Modern Apocrypha, and I have no idea what we're talking about.
Yes, I wanted to kind of ambush you with this one. This is a topic that you've brought up before, and I've got confusion, so I want to have the discussion in public for everyone to see. So the single word is Gnosticism.
Okay.
And I want to understand what you think it means, what I think it means, what people think it means, because I'm not sure that in this day and age where we've got something like sloganism, that people aren't assigning something to it that it's not, or thinking that it is not something that it is.
Okay, so I guess the best place to start is where the word sort of started, where it came from, was a Christian heresy back in the first few centuries. I don't remember exactly when. Okay, so yeah, first century AD. There was a Christian heresy called Gnosticism that essentially involved people believing that the spiritual was better than the physical. And essentially the base of it, what it ended up being, is that our bodies are somehow dirty and evil because they're flesh, and what we really should be aiming for is a spiritual existence instead. And turns out that was actually a curse that was put on the Nephilim, whose spirits are now demons. The demons are beings that are cursed to be only spiritual. And other than that, everything else sort of has its... Angels aren't just spiritual beings. They have an embodiment. So that was where Gnosticism started, okay? Now, I'm sure that the concepts that I sort of bake together into the word Gnosticism right now come from something that's even older than that. That's 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 years old. That's actually a pre-flood thing. Okay. Right. And I don't know what they used to be called. And the reason I use the word Gnosticism now is because that's where the term is going. And there are other people I have heard using it the way I use it recently, and we'll get into what that is in just a second. One of the guys who does that is James Lindsay, and he is a curious character for sure. But what he's describing, it's really hard to find another word that actually deals with this. You could use the word Luciferian. Luciferian is that pertaining to Lucifer. Lucifer being an angel of light who essentially freed the earth from God's weird plan by giving humans knowledge, which they didn't have before. That is the basis of neo-Gnosticism. Modern Gnosticism is that concept that God is the bad guy, and Lucifer, the angel of light, who is the good guy, came to earth to free us from God's sort of enslavement in his little plans. And so Lucifer is the good guy. That is the basis of this modern sort of Gnostic religion. And when you get into what Gnosticism actually encompasses, the definition gets fuzzy because a lot of people will point back to the first century heresy. But the best context I've heard for it in the modern day is to encompass religions and belief systems that are all essentially the same. You could call them mystery religion as well, if you prefer. But what they point back to is sort of the same set of things. A belief system that has secret knowledge as one of its hallmarks. And that secret knowledge is required for advancement in that system. So whether that's Freemasonry, which is sort of the prime example, or so
let's dig into that. That's a real big point of understanding for me, is the levels of secrecy. On one level, there's no denying that secrets happen, but the idea is that Gnosticism encourages it as a positive as opposed to decrying it as a negative.
The idea is that it all goes back to Lucifer being the original introducer of this concept, where he gave human beings knowledge and God was trying to keep human beings from having knowledge. So he gave us the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And so when you get into these religions, they have sort of got this notion that secret knowledge is important for self-actualization and self-realization. And the deeper you get into the religion, the more of this secret knowledge you get to access, and thus the more enlightened you become. And this speaks to a desire inside of each of us to know secret things, to have secret knowledge, to be special because we understand things other people don't understand.
Can I read you something real quick?
And please.
We just had a previous episode about how current information is widely disparate from fact. But I'm just reading here from the literal CIA website called Wikipedia, and that Gnosticism is a collection of religious ideas and systems that coalesced in the late first century AD among Jewish and early Christian sects. These various groups emphasized personal spiritual knowledge above proto-Orthodox teachings, tradition, and authority of religious institution. So that is a personal relationship with God as far as we describe it.
But no.
You're describing something.
No, that's not what that is.
So your personal
spiritual enlightenment. Personal spiritual enlightenment. That's personal spiritual knowledge. That's secret knowledge.
You're saved.
No.
See, this is where I get really fuzzy, because who's saying what? What do they mean by those words? Having someone through a dialectic turn this thing dirty and right?
And Gnosticism was dirty from the very beginning.
Okay.
The Wikipedia definition doesn't do justice to the heresy. The heresy was essentially making it a case of, I don't even remember all the details. I learned about this in school, and it was kind of just a weird sort of semi-offshoot of early Christianity. But where we run into the modern usage of the term Gnosticism is that there is a group of people on the right, mostly, and whether they're political or sort of more on the cultural side or something else is hard to say, but they use the term Gnosticism as shorthand for a spiritualistic religious sect that prizes secret knowledge and uses the esoteric and exoteric knowledge to manipulate people. Exoteric is something that is open and easily understood. Esoteric is something that is secret and closely held. And these Gnostic ideas are used to manipulate people. The reason I chose that term and that I'm using that term the way I am is because I'm borrowing it from other people who are sort of pushing it in that direction. It looks to me like that term is currently being chosen to be used to describe both the dark side of the dialectic and the light side of the dialectic, okay? They both So if you take Freemasonry, for example, Freemasonry, there are practitioners who are on the dark side of the dialectic in the World Economic Forum and other such places, and very openly Freemason, like you can find their symbolism there. There are light Freemasons and light witches, witches who are good witches, who are on the light side of the dialectic. But all of that can be encompassed in the term Gnosticism. You could use Luciferianism, but it doesn't have the same sort of impact because Luciferianism points back to something satanic, which is actually kind of the opposite of what we're talking about. If you look at the way they divide things up, Satanism, you would think of it as the dark side of the dialectic, but not really. It's sort of a fake-out term. It's a term that doesn't have any meaning. It doesn't have anything it's built on. So it's like the red herring that the Gnostics and the Luciferians hold out and say, see, this is the bad guys. These are the evil ones that you need to watch out for, are the Satanists. And the reality is the Luciferian side, the light side, which in this case, I'm using that term interchangeably with Gnosticism, is pretty easily described as the real agenda that would fool even the elect if possible. And again, I'm using this term in a more modern sense that isn't in the dictionaries as much or as frequently, because that's how it's being used by other personalities in the space. So people will catch on the term and they'll go, oh, that's what he's talking about, but only because I have encountered it from them and it's the best one that fits. Because if you use Luciferianism, people think Satanism immediately, and that isn't right.
Okay. Well, the thing that really just struck me as a point of confusion or something to clarify was the idea of secrets, because I don't think anybody reasonably expects that secrets don't exist, that there aren't people that do hold secrets as important.
So in this case, I would call it a fetishization of secrets, almost. So it's
uplifting and holding secrets as a positive, as opposed to holding secrets as a unfortunate necessity or something to be broken.
Or just a fact of life. Any of those three are acceptable because, yeah, some secrets are just a fact of life. People will keep secrets. That's just the fact.
You can't look at something like the Pythagorean theorem into calculus, into string theory, et cetera, without realizing that we're making discovery, and discovery is discovering a secret because we didn't know.
Well, okay, so you use these terms.
I really harp on the secret is that secrets are just searching for what you don't yet know, and there's no denying that there are things we don't know yet.
Your fuzzy use of the words is making me itch here. So, no, it's your use of the words. You're using them in a fuzzy way that's making me itch. And what I mean by that is a secret is something that is intentionally kept from other people by a person or something. Saying that God is keeping secrets from us is sort of silly, because God knows everything about everything, and he's not going to tell us everything about everything because our heads can't hold it all. And he wants us to be able to discover new things. So he has made this world. You were talking about calculus and these other mathematical concepts. He has made this world with things about it that we don't know yet, but those aren't secrets. Those are just things we don't know yet.
He's telling the truth at you all the time. You just have to have eyes to see and ears to hear.
Well, and which truth is important, right? Because the things like Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's yelling at you all the time, but he isn't necessarily giving everybody calculus or the next mathematical or scientific advancement all the time. Okay. But that doesn't mean that they're secrets. Secrets are something that an agent, whether it's usually a human, but maybe spiritual beings as well, are keeping from other beings on purpose. Okay, that's a secret. And the idea here with the secret knowledge is that, okay, so for example, let's take adrenochrome. Okay, do you know what that is?
Adrenochrome? No.
Adrenochrome is a chemical substance that is extracted from young children who have been scared to the point of death that actually prolongs people's lives. This is a real thing. It's wow.
That movie, I Come in Peace, the alien movie.
Yeah. Well, like there's serious revelation of this stuff in some pop culture, but this is something that a lot of conspiracy theorists like to talk about, where you can cause the human body to produce chemicals that if you take them from that human body and put them in an older body, it will cause it to live longer. Okay. Usually it causes harm to the person it's being taken from. A very mild form of this would be Peter Thiel, who keeps his blood boy around, and he has blood transfusions from young people on a very regular basis. I've seen video of this. I've seen video of him doing it. He has blood transfusions from teenagers on a regular basis because it physically makes his body younger. That's a real thing. Okay, we also find it to be rather perverted as human beings. That naturally makes us feel disgusted. The adrenochrome thing is even worse because it takes a young person, scares them literally to the point of death, then extracts a chemical substance from them to make other people live longer or have more young appearing bodies. When you see these Hollywood elites who have... who are attractive at much older ages than they ought to be, it's because of things like this. It's a very open secret in some quarters. Now, this is the only reason I bring this up is not because I'm saying it's real, though I think it's pretty obvious at this point it probably is. But even if you disagree, even if you think it's a lot of crap, the point is this is an example of secret knowledge that has been held as secret knowledge for a very long time, who only certain people have had access to. And when you get brought into their circle, you have thus brought yourself up a rung on the ladder, and now you live a longer life. You have more whatever, because you're part of the secret now. And there are any number of different things that are on that particular ladder. I mean, I don't care to try to define it because it doesn't matter. But the point is, there are lots of secret knowledges that these people hold. Some of them are real. Some of them are fake. Most of them have some basis in reality, but none of them are particularly important to me because I live in the kingdom of heaven. I live in a world where I follow the will of my Father in heaven. And the things that he wants me to do are what's important to me, and these other secret knowledge things are not so much. And it, you know, if he can resurrect me from the dead, then what do I have to worry about these physical things? All these people who are using this stuff are just absolutely terrified of dying. Dying to them is the unspeakable thing. And to me, I have no fear of death. I have some concern about what might happen to my family if someone were to kill me or to try to kill them. That concerns me. But I'm not afraid of dying. I know what happens to me when I die. I have no doubt. It's like Revelation says, and they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and by loving not their life unto the death. That is the opposite of what the world system, of what the Gnostic system does.
Interesting. The only thing I put on that is that I would say that all the things are true of Luciferianism, but I don't hear someone, and I suppose the whole point of secrecy is that you wouldn't hear it, but you don't hear a Gnostic saying, I'm for cutting up babies or whatever the thing.
Well, and that's the whole point. They won't say that out loud because they are, that is not exoteric knowledge. That's not for you. That's for them. Okay, so the people who, well, and they do say it out loud if you know where to listen. There's the whole commercial and of people using pieces of babies in their face cream. This was said on the Ellen DeGeneres show by somebody else in the non-distant past, where they were talking about pieces of babies in this facial treatment that they use. And that's how they keep looking young. And I'm like, yeah, you guys are horrible. And I cannot wait to see you stand in front of God, because this is just an abomination. Thank you. I did not need to know about that.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, no, they do talk about it out loud. It's just not necessarily where you can hear it. And the reality is this whole thing, the reason I use the word Gnosticism is because it makes people stop and go, what is he talking about? And they have to actually dig into it to really understand it. And if all they find is the Wikipedia definition, it still isn't going to stack up. So they're still going to have to keep looking. It's like you and I having this conversation now. The reason I use the word is because it makes people want to have this same conversation.
Fair enough.
But it's also very descriptive, because guys like James Lindsay, okay, do you know who he is? Do you have any?
Names are never going to give me a flag on someone, or almost never. What's the body of work and what's his topic?
Okay, so you may remember a while back, there were a couple of scholars who submitted some works to scientific journals. James Lindsay, I think James Lindsay was one of them. I'm pretty sure I'm not getting that wrong. Peter Boghossian. There were a couple of others who were involved in this project, but what they did is they took things like Mein Kampf. They substituted the words for common woke lingo, and they changed the name of it to a paper, and they submitted it wholesale as a paper on such and such, and got published in these scientific journals for,
yeah.
Okay. You remember hearing about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
James Lindsay was one of the guys who did that. And he did it to demonstrate how totally cuckoo nutso these woke alphabet mafia people are. And since then, he has been going around to anybody who will listen and talking about this. I think it started out by being called neo-Marxist, but it has morphed to being described as a modern Gnosticism religion. Okay. So when you get into it, and maybe this is a great episode to talk about the alphabet mafia, because what we're actually talking about is wokeism. It's the religion on the American left and the Western left that is, you know, often what would you call it? The visual signs of it are like the rainbow crowd and the alphabet agenda. I call it the alphabet mafia because for obvious reasons, but also extending into the body of philosophical work that goes into the U.S. education system over the past 120 years now, started in the time of Woodrow Wilson and Saul Alinsky, that their goal was to take over the American institutions and to do it using essentially Luciferian Gnostic methods. And what they created, what has come of it was...
Just a real quick question. Would you loop in Machiavellian into those three words? Those two words?
No, because Machiavellian sort of just describes real politic.
And these people believe in a higher spirituality, so they don't...
They do. They're actually not atheistic. They believe that there is a God. It's just the one that we would call Satan, one we would call Lucifer, is the one they follow. And their usual pattern for describing this is that the actual greatest God is greater than God. Then there's God, who was one of sort of the smaller things that this greatest being originated. And then Lucifer was a being that was sort of on the next level down. And the one we call God was the creator of humans, but he was going to use them for his own twisted agenda. And Lucifer set them free. And the Gnostics don't serve Lucifer exactly. They serve the higher being than God. Okay. That's sort of their pantheon. And a lot of that isn't apparent when you start getting into the entry levels of their religion, because the way you have to understand that these are built, they're built on sort of this pyramid of secret knowledge. The people at the base don't have access to the secret knowledge. You go up a level and maybe you have access to some special things, like some of the basic stuff, like adrenochrome. If you're one of the Hollywood elites, you get that call that invites you. People talk about this sometimes on talk shows and stuff. Oh, I got the call. Well, that invites you to take part in some of their weird crap. And you get some of their secret concoctions that supposedly help keep you young, or maybe do help keep you young or whatever, but that are built on human pain and suffering and evil. And then you go up the next level and you learn about the next level of enlightenment things and et cetera, all the way up to the top of the pyramid. And the top of the pyramid are spiritual beings who are operating in this world. And James Lindsay, bringing it back to James Lindsay, when he started talking about this stuff, a lot of it was just termed neo-Marxism. Okay, but neo-Marxism doesn't work very well, because Marxism is a specific political system that was implemented. Karl Marx came up with it. It was based on a class differential. And the reason that they use the term neo-Marxism is because they've turned the race situation in America into what the class system used to be under Marxism. And so they term it neo-Marxism, but really it's something other than that. It's the spiritual principalities that are wicked and who are in charge of the world took the methods of Marxism, brought them into the US, and started using them to build this pyramid of darkness in our institutions. And some of it is secret knowledge, but some of it is just other stuff. So the term that has instead, there was no good term to call it, but it is all tied back to this Gnostic cult, because one of the things that they believe, along with their pantheon, is that spiritual things are higher than physical things. So if you have contact with the spiritual on a real level, then you become higher than the physical things. And if you could exist in a purely spiritual state, then you would be a higher sort of being than the physical. They glorify the spiritual over the physical. So it does tie back into that original Christian heresy. And I happen to think that heresy came out of Luciferianism to start with. I don't know what they called it back then, but I think that's what happened. And so Gnosticism, modern Gnosticism, is a good way to talk about it, because it doesn't have sort of the cultural linguistic weight that Luciferianism does. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. The only thing I would put on this in the sloganism frame is that be careful of pushing anyone away that uses the word that doesn't know what they're saying, and be careful of anyone that is going after Luciferian things by action, by output, and not, you know, don't assume just from the slogan that they mean what you think that means.
Absolutely.
Right. And don't assume that just because they say nice things that they're not trying to stab you in the back.
Well, and that's actually a great hallmark of that particular belief system. But, you know, actually, this is kind of a good place to go for a break. You want to take a break?
I'll say this real quick before the break, that
sure.
Ideally, you will find people that will celebrate your successes and encourage your successes, but you will not have someone encourage you to sacrifice your children for them.
I mean, if that's just ideal, then we've got a problem. If you find someone who wants you to sacrifice your loved ones for your success, run screaming in the other direction.
Because what they're meaning is their success.
Well, and that is part of it. It is the original pyramid multi-level marketing scheme, but
I would love to talk about the pyramid in particular in this topic, but we should hit that up after the break.
Sounds good. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
Back in a minute.
Modern Apocrypha is brought to you by Bright Star, the forthcoming book by me, Jared Michaud, due to hit shelves April of 2024. For pre-release copies, head over to e6universe.com. Use the promo code Israel for 10% off with your order.
I'd like to take a moment to thank all the people enjoying Modern Apocrypha. As many of you can see, I'm an avid coffee drinker, and I've been drinking North Arrow Coffee for a couple of pounds now. You can find North Arrow Coffee at northarrowcoffee.co, all one word, where they list coffee of the month and how green coffee is handled. I've been enjoying some of the number 4 Honduras and some of the number 10 Peru, available at northarrow.co. If you'd like to help support us even more, you can use discount code E6 for 10% off your coffee order today. Thank you.
And we're back.
Welcome back, everyone.
So, we've kind of gotten into why I'm using the word Gnosticism the way I am, and I can't say it's just me, but, you know, if it had been just me, if I had been looking for a word, I probably would have gone with the Luciferianism one, even though the context tends to pull it in a direction that might be a little odd, but I have heard a lot of people, and I can't recall exactly who. James Lindsay's just one of them, who are using the word Gnosticism in exactly the same sense I am.
Well, and so, I just worry about girding against the powers and principalities that bend words that you are not and would not discourage anyone from having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
No, and Gnosticism was never about that. That was never... No, it wasn't.
It wasn't. Again, right. It means words. I'm not going to put up a slogan. I'm going to say
right. Right, and no, Gnosticism was never about that, and you're right. I don't want people to think anything of the sort. On the other hand, what I do want people to think, actually, and let's hit this now. I don't want people to use what I put out for content as an excuse to dive into secret knowledge, because an addiction to secret knowledge is going to lead you down a path that is dark and not good. And the funny thing is, this is like a dark mirror of the way God works, because as you get closer and closer to God, you start to see truths that nobody, you know, most people don't see. You and only, you know, a few other people see it the way you see it. He makes these things real to you in a way that nobody else can, and you understand them. And so in a sense, that is secret knowledge, but really it's not, because you're not trying to keep it secret. It's just something that you're only allowed to... Huh?
That you didn't know yet? It's not something
you know. Yeah, you didn't know yet, but you can only see it because your perspective has shifted to be closer to his perspective. And so even if you tell other people, they're not going to get it. And so it's obscure knowledge. It's difficult knowledge, but it's not secret. It's just special and interesting and cool, where the way the dark side tries to do things is they have their version of that is actually secret. They keep this knowledge from people who aren't supposed to have it. And
they will sometimes lie to keep it secret.
Oh, constantly lie. They'll sometimes kill to keep it secret. They'll often deceive vast swaths of the population. It's like the whole, what would you call it? The whole weather manipulation using jet emissions thing. That's a real thing. I didn't know that. I would have said that was nonsense a couple of years ago. And it's because the only formulation of it that I had encountered was the one that all the jets in the world are using, this weird technology that puts out these special chemical things that spread out in the atmosphere and either reflect or gather and concentrate sunlight. And by doing that, they, well, and there are other aspects to it too. I haven't delved into it, but they manipulate the weather. I would have said it was nonsense. Well, turns out this is actually fairly commonly known and commonly used, and it's even admitted to in some Freedom of Information Act stuff we've gotten out of the government agencies. I didn't know that, but it isn't used in every jet everywhere. It's just certain, certain flights, certain people, certain planes that use this. And because it's only certain ones, the common idea that there's this, this chemical manipulation of our atmosphere being done by jet engines, all jet engines everywhere, is sort of a straw man that they put up to help people to not see what's actually going on. They tried to keep it from the American people forever. Some of the Project MK Naomi stuff is pretty goofy, scary crap. They actually have tested all kinds of things on the American people over time, and it's totally uncool.
Is MK Naomi related to MK Ultra?
Distantly and vaguely, but
through the same organizations, but different.
Project. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And MK Ultra was
super spies.
Well, it was mind control stuff, mostly, where MK Naomi was more germ warfare stuff and broadcasting of chemicals and such.
We also have some light technologies that are out there somewhere that we don't actually have the name of that program yet.
Yeah, I know. Well, there are all kinds of weird stuff that's out there. And again, I don't really care to delve into a lot of it, except sort of as a matter of curiosity here and there just for fun. But anyway, back to the subject at hand. You know, it looks to me like what you find, you could almost think of it as, you know how in the Marvel movies you've got Hydra. Right? They're this organization that has its tentacles through everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is really analogous to that in a sense, but it isn't an intentional conspiracy. Instead, it's more like a loose network of people and groups that sort of are all used by the enemy, and they have their roots deep in the institutions of society in places where they're useful and they're easy to manipulate. So the Alphabet Mafia is a great big chunk of this thing, but there are also things like the, what would I say? Oh, the teachers' unions are a big one. That's actually Planned Parenthood is a big one. I mean, the whole eugenics movement is. Yeah, go ahead.
One of your real big tools of the dialectic, one of your big issues is the slogan. You could even take something like Never Forget and then look at how that might wind its way through governments and get people to do things that they may not do, right?
Okay.
So that, again, it comes down to where you get the sloganism, that's where you can find the telltale sign of a place that manipulators will go.
Well, I mean, okay, so that's a symptom, but that's not a root anything.
Not a root. No, just a sign of. It's a way okay. You can say, oh, there's one over there. Oh, there's one over
okay,
there.
Okay, I'm with you. Right? Because, and you're right.
Yeah, and part of it is just the natural, there's a real thing going on with heartfelt people, and then Machiavellian and poor forces, negative forces will glom onto that because they can.
Yeah, and that's true. And all I would say is just that people need to understand, when they understand what the Gnostic system is, it's lots and lots of different branches and tendrils of different organizations, different groups, different peoples that are all sort of oriented toward the enemy's agenda in some way. They're not totally sold out. They haven't, like, made a Faustian bargain that they know of. They're just oriented toward this agenda. It's like if you go to a library almost anywhere in the country, you'll find that they are more friendly to the woke agenda. Public libraries are more friendly to the woke agenda than most things are. And it's because it's not because that's where it originated. It's because that group is sort of oriented toward the enemy. Or if you go over to the Islamic countries, you find that the Islamic religion is oriented in the same direction. It's oriented toward the enemy. That's why we have this weird alliance of the woke to Islam. Even though Islam kills woke people in their countries, they're kind of allied with each other because they're both oriented toward the enemy. They don't actually understand that that's what's going on, but they're all sort of working toward the enemy's ends. And they're oriented in the enemy's direction. So they're all working on the same things. And that makes them part of the Gnostic collection of worldviews and religions and communities and groups. And if you get higher in the Gnostic hierarchy, you can tap into, without even actually knowing how you're doing it or knowing why all the time, but sometimes you do, I guess, you can tap into these things, and that's how people get famous overnight sometimes. That's how almost everyone whose name you know, who is a national political figure, has some kind of, or media figure, has some kind of connection to a Gnostic organization, Gnostic things, because they're oriented in the same direction and they serve the enemy's purpose. So they're all working together.
Oh, and an interesting white pill of the situation. One of the things that all people have realized is that trending now, as it were, is something to ride and manipulate and play with. And so you do get the official professional trolls that have taken advantage of that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, among those professional trolls, it's actually really interesting. A lot of the light side of the dialectic has a huge chunk of the troll community in their pocket. It's like 4chan is a great breeding ground for that particular.
Are you suggesting that free thought is a good breeding ground for?
Well, properly, see, here's the thing that a lot of people don't quite register properly. God did not create us to spend a lot of time thinking about good and evil. About to spend a lot of time thinking and talking about the knowledge of good and evil. That wasn't what our purpose was. He made that to be possible for us, an open door, a path we could go down. But that wasn't really the intent, okay? The intent was for us to be in community with and in relationship to him. And because he has a perfect view of everything, he knows good and evil. There's no mystery there. There's no difficulty in it for him. And so if we trust him for our understanding of it, then we don't wind up in trouble. If we put his view of it ahead of our own, then we don't wind up in trouble. We don't wind up in places we shouldn't go. And so when the enemy comes in and creates this sort of system where people are interested in good and evil and the knowledge thereof as a very high part of their worldview, that's an indication, again, a sign that that's what's going on, but it's all and that they're part of the enemy's group, but it's also a telltale that they're not operating in a way that's actually good for them. They're doing something that's self-destructive.
I agree in general, but I feel like I'm in a little bit of a wiggle room because I trust in God, certainly, but also wrestle with God, a la Israel.
Okay, so yes,
right? So how do you square those two? They're opposites.
Well, they're not exactly. They're not actually. They're not opposites, not at all. One is they're stages of each other. Okay? And here's the thing. We are all individuals, right? What does that mean? That means we're not part of God. We're not extensions of God. We're not like, you know, we're part of the universe and the universe is God, so we're all part of God nonsense. That's not what's going on, not at all. We are individuals. He made us to be distinct individual persons. And because of that, when it comes to God, he doesn't want to subsume us into himself and make us just part of the collective. That's not God's will. That's not what he's going for. But from our perspective, that's sort of what we're wrestling with in a sense. So when it comes to wrestling with God, that is a prerequisite for trusting in God. You have to wrestle with him before you can trust him, because you're not part of him. You're a different entity, and there's a tension there. There's a difficulty there. So in order to be in right relationship with him, you have to go through the struggle and the difficulty of the wrestling. And that's also why the Bible says that we all have to, in fear and trembling, we all have to work out our salvation. And that basically means that relationship with God is something that is negotiated on an individual basis and dealt with in a way that is different for each of us, because we're all built differently. He knows what we need to be, but he isn't going to force us into a mold, because he gave us free choice. So none of that has anything to do with the knowledge of good and evil specifically, unless we immerse ourselves in that. Instead, what we should be desiring of is to trust what he wants to give us for knowledge of good and evil, and for it to be good enough for us. And in doing that, we can then eat of the tree of life. And the word life in this context really isn't sufficient to describe what we're talking about. Life isn't just I continue to exist. It is a fullness and richness of being that is almost incomprehensible to the modern human, because we don't have abundant life, most of us. You know, I get a taste of it when I see my dad and my brother and sisters and my kids and my nieces and nephews all in the same house, and we're all talking, interacting, living, being. I get a little taste of the abundant life that he has for us there. But the abundant life of God is just beyond imagination. It's amazing. And that's what he designed us for. That is what the tree of life offers. It is, yes, continuing to exist, but it's continuing to exist in a rich existence that is unimaginably good. And the knowledge of good and evil is not directly necessary for that. We're better off looking to him for our view of good and evil and not bothering with the rest of it. Does that answer your...
Absolutely. I think this is a great spot. I've got one more thing to review that is just kind of tying in all of history, because, you know, that's fun.
Yeah.
Feel free, everybody. I would suggest it's a great thing to know about in the first place. But look up tefillin. Tefillin. Tefillin is a little wooden box that Jews wear on their forehead, right? It's a square. It's a cube.
Okay.
And they wear this cube on their forehead, right? And the tefillin has a little prayer box in it. It's an Old Testament prayer for sure. And what it's doing, what it's representing, the history of the object, is this is the Jews leaving the pyramid. The pyramid was ubiquitous. It was hierarchy, right? And outside the pyramid, there were large numbers of people that had the box. They didn't believe in a pyramid. They believed in the individual ability to wrestle with God, and the inability to wrestle with God being stuck in the pyramid. So they needed to leave, and the existence of the Tefillin is essentially democracy versus communism, because the communist pyramid, where you were stuck and you were told what caste you were in and what you were doing, was the communist stuck box that picked winners.
And how about that, individualism versus collectivism?
Exact, sure. Those are much more general terms, which suit the exact same meaning. So
yeah,
the original Jewish creation and fight to be fought is the continued fight that America's fighting now, is the fun connection. Through,
gotcha.
Through the example of the Tefillin being the individualistic approach versus the...
Interesting. You know what's really interesting? I don't know, this whole thing. Oh, by the way, before I forget, another term that's tied in here is occult. Anything to do with the occult can also be tied into Gnosticism.
Okay.
So the sort of the correlation of occult and Luciferian and Gnostic, those things are all sort of tied together here. Anyway, before I forgot, I wanted to say it just because I've run into people who had occult ideas. They thought that Jesus was, well, I don't even want to go there. Yeah. They get the weirdest crap going on where you start going, I can't even untangle what's true from what's crap in what this person is expressing, because there are so many elements of things that are true, but where you can't actually point to the truth because they've polluted it with this or that other weird idea. And I don't need that. All I need is my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what everything else flows out of.
That helps you pick out of the massive information which things are true.
It does. You know, the discernment that the Holy Spirit provides us is critical to this. So don't be afraid of these ideas. Don't run away from them exactly, but be sensitive to the Spirit and test the spirits, and, you know, bring everything back to the scriptures and see if they match properly, because that, if you're concerned about it, that's a good way to test any individual thing, because the Holy Spirit will use that to speak to you before anything else.
I think that's a good place for people to check.
I think that's a good place to call the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Indeed. Thank you, everybody. We'll catch you next time.